In these podcasts, I will be talking with people who share their stories of tragedy and of hope. I will be exploring mental health and well-being with workplace professionals and also with folk who have struggled to make sense of their own lives. My hope is that these shared experiences will remove the loneliness from those people who are convinced it is their fate to suffer alone. I'm Dave Thomas, and I've been a serving police officer for over 20 years. You are very welcome to join me on Walk the Talk. No parent expects to go to the funeral of their child, but that is exactly what happened to Sue Davis. Sue is a typical hard-working mum. She could be your mum. Around midnight, on the 11th of August, 2011, a 26-year-old son Robert was driving home to see his mum and his own little boy Cameron. Robert never made it. His vehicle spun off the motorway and rolled over into a field. It was to prove fatal. Several hours later, a police officer knocked on Sue's door to deliver that awful news. Sue bravely describes how she's coped with that loss and how she still does. It is a privilege that she has agreed to share her experience with me. I have not seen Sue since that investigation into Robert's death. The officer that knocked on her door that morning was me. Join us now as we sit in Sue's living room, exactly where we were 7 years ago. Sue, welcome to Walk the Talk. It's been quite a few years since we've been in this living room, and whilst that room hasn't changed, obviously life for you has. Before we go on to talk about Robert's death, perhaps we could just spend a few minutes talking about Robert.
He was a chef who'd just gone to work in the lakes. Robert was a very, very caring person, very sensitive person. Told it as it was, you know. Some people don't really like that, do they? But no. He was very, very straight, and he had his beliefs, and he was just miraculous and lovely and everything else. I could go on and on and on about Robert. Big heart. Lovely. Lovely, lovely lad.
So what was he like as a little boy then?
Oh, very cute. Face of an angel, our Robert. Yeah, he did. He was an absolutely gorgeous child. Absolutely gorgeous child.
Because I know he liked his horses, didn't he?
Yeah, he loved his horses. He liked golf, and he was a really good skater as well. Yeah, he was good at everything he put his mind to, Robert, you know.
And, of course, it's his own little boy, Cameron, as well.
Yeah, well, Cameron's very much into football, which I don't think I ever saw Robert kick a ball. Ever. But Cameron, yeah, he's a good little footballer as well. Yeah, he's good. Very much like his dad.
I was going to say, do you see Robert in Cameron?
Oh, looks like, yeah, he's a double of him. He's very much like him in his ways as well. And that's bittersweet, to be honest.
But it's like a living memory, though, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Which must be of some comfort to you.
Very much, yeah. Oh, very much. I don't know what I would have done if I hadn't have had Cameron, to be honest.
Yes.
He's a little light in our lives, well, a big light in our lives. As I say, I don't know what... Oh, we'd have got as far as we have, really, without him.
Let's go back to that morning. It's a subject probably neither of us really want to talk about, but it was 6:30 in the morning on Thursday, the 11th of August, 2011, and I came to your house and stood in the living room to tell you the news that no parent should ever have to hear. What do you remember about that day?
Well, I just think I was upstairs in bed and Mike came up into the bedroom. I hadn't heard you knock, and just said I had to come downstairs, and I just jumped up out of bed. I just knew there was something, because Robert hadn't come home like he was supposed to, and just came running down the stairs basically and saw you standing in the living room by the kitchen door, and said to you, didn't I, where is he? And you said, Ormskirk Hospital. And I said, is he okay? And I think your words were, he hasn't survived. I can't remember the exact words, Dave, but it was just, I don't know, just went to chaos, wasn't it? Shock and just, I think I went, I don't know how I went, I just couldn't believe it. I just went berserk, didn't I? You know, running all over the places. I remember just, I just couldn't believe it, Dave, couldn't believe what you'd said. And I think I was saying to you, you know, I know it's happened, you know, it's not real. And I think, I know I was crying and that, and I can't remember what else you said to me. I know it was just mad, wasn't it? It was just, it's hard to remember exactly what went on at that particular time. I think I ran upstairs trying to get dressed. I remember thinking, you know, I'm not going to ever hear him come in and say, Mum, you know, which that was just one of the things. I think I phoned his dad, phoned my brother, phoned Emma. I think he'd already seen Emma. He'd gone there about 4:30 in the morning. Cause,
that's right.
Yeah. I don't think I got a reply off Rob when I first rang, or off my brother. They both rang me back right away. And when I can't even remember what I said to them. I must have just said, I don't know, Rob's had been killed or Rob's had died. And there was just these screams down the phone from both of them, you know. I think I kept, when I eventually, I don't know, I don't know whether you had hold of my hands and I was crying or something. I was sitting down. I don't know whether that did happen or...
Well, I certainly remember. what I do remember about that morning was never, ever seeing somebody so full of grief and anguish.
Mm, mm.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
And I do remember you running upstairs.
Yeah.
The most awful cries and screams.
Mm.
And I think you did that a few times. I think you went up and downstairs.
Mm, I think I did.
It's as though you were coming back down to see if it was real.
Yeah, it wasn't real.
And then
it wasn't real to me.
After probably 10 or 20 minutes, I think what little of it was starting to sink in then, and that's when you stopped going upstairs. And I think that's probably when I sat with you and held your hand, I suspect. Mm. It was a terrible morning.
Oh. Worst day of my life. Absolutely the worst day of my life, yeah. And I remember then, I think my brother was coming, I think he said, I'm on my way or something. He was here by about 7:15 or something. And I think you said, well, somebody had to go to the hospital with you, didn't we?
Yes.
To identify Robert. But my brother had said that he'd rang my auntie and my cousin and they were on the way to my mum's. Well, that was panic then because I thought, oh, my God, you know, I've got to get to my mum before they get there because she, well, you know, Robert was her life. And
because I think it was yourself that told your mum that morning, wasn't it?
I had to, yeah.
Which is a double whammy for you.
Well, it was, yeah. I think me and my brother were at my mum's by 7:45. And you said to me that, somebody had to go with you then to identify Robert. I just looked at Mike and said, will you go? I never thought about his dad. My head was just, I just didn't know what I was doing. I should have really, I think, you know, got in touch with his dad and said, you go. But it was just mad. I just was doing everything that you wouldn't normally do, I think. And I think, we were at my mum's by 7:45 and then Mike and Michael went with you, didn't they?
I think if you remember, I said to you that you'd be able to see Robert later on.
That's right, you did,
and
Dave.
I know that's exactly what happened before his funeral. You did go to see Robert. And I think, from memory, I think you spent pretty much most of the day with him.
Yeah.
So how did that help you?
It just wasn't real, Dave. I mean, you know, I even wrote in my diary, going to see Robert. And a smiley face. It's like we were going to visit him somewhere and he was going to be...
Are you glad that you did go to see him then?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. As I say, I thought I'd be able to spend the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you know, the whole week with him. But as it happened, they... Actually, there were friends of mine that did his funeral, Lorena Peace Coins. They said to my cousin to have a word, you know, that they felt they wanted to close the coffin that day. Well, I had plans of going every day to sit with him. Just wasn't real, Dave, to be honest, though. Even, I mean, if it was... Your mind is... You just... You're an autopilot, aren't you? You're just not thinking straight.
Do you think it was a... Perhaps scared to let go of him?
Yeah. I think about 3 or 4 years after, I think you start to then realise. I think you're still in shock for the first few years. Yeah, because I wouldn't have walked away. I was at the funeral directors that day and left him there. I wouldn't have wanted to leave go of him, you know. I often ask, how the hell did I do that? How did I leave him there? It's like looking at peeping out of something.
Well, the following months were spent trying to come to terms with the loss of Robert and trying to find answers to why he died. How did you manage to get through those first few months?
Well, I went back to work about 6 weeks, 5 or 6 weeks after. I don't know how I got through the first month. I just can't tell you, really. I don't remember much about it. I went back to work because I knew I had to try and keep on going, I think.
A lot of people say, don't they, that they become strong because there's nothing else to do. They have no choice.
But you don't have a choice, do you? That's true. You don't have a choice. Well, you either kill yourself.
Well, I was going to ask you
your own life.
Did you ever think about that?
Yeah, I have. I have thought about that. But I did, the day I spent with Robert in Coin, you know, in the funeral directors, I mean, I told him that I would look after Cameron. That was one of the things that I said to him. I said lots of other things, but that was the... So, yeah, that's been one of the things that's kept me going, I think, is to make sure that he will be okay. I don't know what I would have done if Cameron hadn't, because I don't have any other children.
Do you think your outlook might have been different if Cameron wasn't there?
Absolutely, yeah.
And how did Mike deal with obviously Mike, your partner?
Yeah.
How was he struggling to deal with, obviously, his own grief and seeing you shattered?
Well, obviously, you know, Robert wasn't his son, so he's a little bit on a different... It's not quite the same as your own child, is it? So I suppose he supported me a bit more. He was stronger, I suppose, than I was.
Because a life-changing event like that can put quite a strain on a relationship, can't it?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And it does.
Were there times when it did get difficult?
Yeah, very, yeah. Yeah, your normal things in life just don't... Oh, no. You're just not interested in anything, really. You're just in shock. You're just on... I was just on another planet, really. Mike, I don't know, he helped... He helped me quite a lot. I don't know how... I mean, they say people, people, when they're together, can split them up because they're both grieving differently. And I really do get that, to be honest.
So what helped get you two through it all?
It's a hard one to answer, really.
Was it just that it was a strong relationship that was capable of taking that knock?
He was very supportive. I don't know whether I really cared at to be honest, I was just dealing with what I was dealing with. It's hard to talk now about then because you are different. I used to just want to be on my own all the time, and you are, because you are on your own to deal with it, I think.
Well, it's interesting you say that you're different now, and, you know, there's that old saying, isn't there, time is a great healer, which is a saying I don't believe in, actually. I think with something like that, you learn to live with it.
Yeah.
That's not the same as getting over it.
Never get over it. I'll never, ever get over it. But you learn to live with it.
I just wonder if there was a point where you were... Perhaps you wanted to stop grieving, but perhaps felt guilty. Because if you were to stop, it'd be almost like you're forgetting about Robert.
Yeah, or that passes through your mind, but I don't think the grief ever will ever, ever go. Never. It'll always be there. I'll always grieve for Robert. Always. You do become stronger. I keep on going for Cameron and for my mum. You know, you think about your children, you think, what if anything happened to them, you wouldn't be able to live. And that's what I used to think, I used to say, as every parent does. I've had people that have said to me, oh, you know, and I find this really difficult. You know, they say, oh, I wouldn't be able to live if anything happened to mine. I've said, well, actually, you know, I used to think that. And it's there, when somebody says that to you, it's basically sort of saying they think more of their, to me, it sounds like, well, they think more of their child than I thought of mine. Do you know what I mean? That's what it comes across as.
Well, that goes back to the guilt thing I was going back, you know, how dare you carry on?
Yeah, I just work, I just carry on. I live for, basically, I think, to make sure Cameron's okay. And I promised Robert I would do that, and that's what I will do.
Mm.
I'm a different person to what I used to be. I mean, I used to love to dance. I mean, I still socialise. You have to socialise. You have to carry on, Dave, because otherwise you would be you know, people will listen to you. But, you know, they're carrying on with their lives. I mean, I do laugh sometimes. I do smile. I've smiled again. Never thought I would. But I have, and I'm still here. You just see things differently. The colour goes out of your life, Dave. I always remember saying to me, mum, it's like all the colour's gone. Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about my next question I was going to ask you, and I was going to use an analogy of, do you see colours brighter now? We take normality for granted, don't we?
Absolutely.
And when it's taken away from us. I'm just wondering if you appreciate life more now than you ever did.
I suppose I should say yes. Life, you do take, grasp it with both hands. Because life's wonderful, really, isn't it? Wonderful.
Are you angry at life?
Angry at life? Not angry at life. You know, people just carry on. People have got lives to live, haven't they? I mean, I think your life just changes. My life's changed. I look back at the person I used to be when Robert was here, and it's like that was a different person.
Mm.
You know, everything was brighter. The world looked brighter.
Well, you'd probably wonder how you would survive if, you know, I'd have told you that in 2011 Robert is going to die, and you'd probably say that, you know, then that, well, how can I survive that? But you have.
Mm. Well, that's it, but you don't think you're going to. You know, you think if anything happened to your children, you wouldn't live like people do say to me. I would have said the same. And I do think you take, without sounding, you know, you take your children for granted. Not, I don't mean that in the bad way, but you think your children are going to be here when you're not.
Yes.
You never, ever think anything's going to happen to your child. Or, you know, it's somebody else. You hear things, don't you?
I'm just curious when you say that, is that you have feelings of guilt that, looking back, you'd wish you'd done more with Robert, or are you happy that...
More with him.
When he was alive.
I suppose with only having Robert, we did do a lot. I didn't have other, you know, I didn't have to share my love, if you like. No, I don't regret anything like that. You look back and I think, I wish I hadn't have got told off, you know. I used to get told off even at 26.
There's going to be parents listening to this that have been where you have been, or perhaps are just starting out on their own awful journey. I know we've talked a lot about how you've coped with that, and I suppose you continue to do so, but what are some of the key things that you've learnt since then that have helped you survive?
I think you have to keep, to be honest, Dave, I think you have to keep busy. You have to keep busy. You know, and I have heard of parents, not many, that sort of, they basically go to bed and they don't really get up again. You know, they just give up.
Mm.
Not many. You find most bereaved parents really, I don't know, you have a strength, I don't know. I would never have thought I would have survived if anything had happened to our Robert. I mean, I've had Cameron, and obviously my mum as well, because my mum had a double. You know, she's got a daughter that's grieving, and she's lost her grandson who she adored, so, and my mum's still here.
Yes.
Everything's bittersweet, really. You know, a lot of things, you know, life, it's, everything's contaminated, Dave, really.
I'm curious if you, did you take any counselling?
Yeah, I went to the Alder Centre to some counselling there. It happened to me, a lady who'd lost her son 9 years before. She came and she had her makeup on, and, you know, I looked at her and, you know, you look and you think, you know, how can you have makeup on? How can you, you know, but she's 9 years down the line, and I mean, I now wear makeup. For the first few years, I just think I was just on another planet, Dave. I was just.
I'm just wondering if it all comes back to that guilt of allowing yourself some enjoyment again in life, and it goes back to perhaps afraid to let go of your grief.
You can let go of your grief, and you can enjoy things. I don't think I'll ever enjoy anything the same as I used to, because you've just got this thing that you carry with you always, I think.
But did you find the counselling that you went to? Did it help you?
It was somebody to talk to and cry and sob and everything else.
Hmm.
It was a man, actually, and he listened. He had 5 children. Yeah, it helped to talk and to... That's what you need to do, is to talk. But I really think somebody to understand, they've got to have been there. Because I don't think they can understand, you know.
I was going to ask you, have you spoken to people that have been there?
Yeah, I have. You have. And one of the things that you do need is to meet other people the same. They do become your friends, if you like.
Yes.
You just have this bond right away. You know what, we all know what we feel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're all going to lose our parents. You know, we're all going to go through that, aren't we? Grandparents, parents. I think your child's a different level. It's just something you never... Something that shouldn't have happened, that isn't normal, is it? You know?
It's against the flow of nature, isn't it, for children to...
You never think it can. You never think it. I never ever thought anything could happen to our, would happen to our Robert. You know, even though I'd worry about him all the time.
Mm. Well, you talk about children. I'm just wondering, does Cameron ever ask about his dad?
Yeah.
How have you dealt with that?
Yeah, he does. He talks about Robert all the time. He will say, you know, he'll ask even food. He'll say, "Did Daddy like that? Or did Daddy like this music?" He remembers. Even though he was only 3.
Mm.
I think one time we were going along in the car and he said to me, you know, Daddy used to, I think it was the Black Eyed Peas, actually. And funny enough, it was called Alive. No, so sorry, Alive. And Robert must have played this to him.
Do you find it difficult when Cameron's asking about his dad?
Yeah, I do. I think Emma, right at the beginning, she said to Cameron, you know, she just said that Daddy was in the sky. Basically, he was 3.
Mm.
And, you know, he used to want to look out the window. Oh, Daddy was a star in the sky, that was it. And he'd always want to look out the window and say, "No, no, Daddy," he used to say.
And how old's Cameron now?
He'd be 10 in June.
And how does he cope with the loss of his dad now that he's a little bit older?
He still asks. I mean, he asked. In fact, I think it was a child, and one of the parents had told their child in school that he'd been killed in a car crash.
Hmm.
We'd never told him. We thought he was too young at that time really to start explaining. And he actually said to Emma and to me, you know, that one of the children had said, "Your daddy was in a crash." So we sort of had to say yes, you know, and just softly sort of talk about it.
Mm.
He's never asked any more. I mean, if he asks, I would tell him.
Yeah.
And as he gets older, I mean, I've kept everything all to do with the accident. Well, no, not accident, sorry. It's a crash. All the papers, you know, all the stuff that was in the papers and everything, got lots of stuff when he's older. He can read about his dad and know that, like, his daddy didn't want to go, did he? You know, his daddy never wanted to leave him. There's lots for him to read about when he gets older.
Yeah. So what's the future looking like for Sue Davis now, then? There has to be hope, surely.
Mm. God, you know, some people say the most silly things, really. You know, like, "I lost my dog."
Yes. People say silly things, though, when they don't know what to say.
Well, they do. They try to understand. I mean, it sounds, I'm not being awful, but, they don't know what to say. Some people will shrug away from it, really. You know, they're frightened to speak to you, and Little do they know that you want to talk about your child, Dave. You want to talk about them. You don't want it to be pushed aside, which you can see people are uncomfortable with it. And, you know, your friends, you know, the sort of becomes a bit of a war between your friends that still have got the children because they talk about their children. It's quite difficult, really.
And it must be embarrassing for them, mustn't it? They must feel embarrassed.
Yeah, I suppose they do. Yeah.
My child is still alive and yours isn't. So that makes it difficult then. There's a barrier straight away.
There is.
Have you found you've lost many friends?
No. No, I haven't. I could have done. I could have done. Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing is, if you said really what was on your mind and what reaction to what some of the silly things that people will say, because they don't really they don't understand, do they? Let's face it. You could lose friends. You could be.
Mm.
You have to put a mask. You wear a mask, Dave.
Mm.
You have to, because otherwise you would be on your own.
Well, it's interesting because as an FLO, obviously it won't surprise you that I've been to quite a few fatal road traffic collisions, unfortunately. And I've had to learn that I've had to emotionally detach myself from the bearer of bad news because you feel as though you have to feel the suffering with that person. And if you try not to, then you feel guilty. And I've learnt that you can't do that. You cannot attach yourself to that. If you could imagine how many death warning messages I've passed over the years, it would destroy you.
Because you do get involved, you know.
It's impossible
you
not
get
to.
You were very involved with us. You remember that morning when it was a couple of days after I thought you brought Robert's things he was wearing, remember?
I do.
The T-shirt, and I mean, that T-shirt to me now, that T-shirt like a treasure, really. It's put away in a box. I've held that T-shirt and cuddled it, cried into it. But it's a piece of gold. Well, no, not, you can't even say that, really, can I? It's just so precious to me. And that would probably seem quite morbid to a non-bereaved non-bereaved parents, anyway. Grief's a funny thing, really. I don't know whether, you know, people say, you know, I do believe in God and I do believe in an afterlife, Dave, and I believed in that before, Robert, because, you know, I've had experience of things in the past and I do believe I will see Robert again.
Sue Davies is braver than she thinks and has shown more resilience than perhaps most of us would be capable of. But as she says, if you would have told her then what was to transpire, she would have been able to cope. Sue says she no longer dances. I hope one day she dances again. The last words belong to Sue.
Every grieving parent, you know, must find a way to continue to live with this loss. And it is a solitary journey and something that you have to deal with yourself, Dave, because, well, nobody can. At the end of the day, you're on your own to deal with it. You have people around you to support you. But the best people you can be with are the people that have been through the same as yourself.